This is Wilderness and Wildlife, presented by the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. This is a half-hour program featuring commentaries and interviews with wildlife and wilderness advocates relating to the unique natural environment that we enjoy in the wildlands of the West and all across America. I'm your host, Jay Schell. So today we are interviewing Leonel Arguello, the Deputy Superintendent of Redwoods National Park. Leonel has been in the position for 4 months, although he's worked for the NPS at Redwoods National Park for many years. Prior to becoming Deputy Superintendent, he worked in the Resource Management and Science Division, starting as a seasonal botanist and working his way up to Division Program Manager. Leonel has lived in the Humboldt Bay area of California since 1983, when he started his studies at Humboldt State University, earning a B.S. degree in Ecology, Evolution, and Systematics, and a Master's in Botany from Humboldt State. He and his wife, Laura, enjoy exploring the natural wonders of the North Coast of California with their two dogs. So welcome, Leonel. It's great to be talking to you, finally. So appreciate your willingness to talk with us today.
Thank you, Jay. I appreciate you reaching out and setting up this conversation.
Great. So we're going to find out about Redwoods. So tell us where it's located and when it was established.
Sure. So folks here who live locally around the parks like to say that we are located behind the Redwood Curtain. We are in the far northwest corner of California. Basically, the northern part of the park is within a half-hour drive of the Oregon state line. So located in Crescent City, and then the southern part is about a half hour's drive north of Humboldt Bay. And we occupy the coastal strip area of California. That our park stretches for about 35 to 40 miles long. So it reaches a little bit to the southeast in the southern part. And we were established in 1968 and expanded with the Redwood Act in 1978. Congress identified the park as meriting this land as meriting national park status because of the unique resource that we have, the tall coastal old growth redwood forest.
So why was it considered worthy of a national park status? Congress made the designation, right?
Yeah, it was a congressional act that designated this area as a national park, and essentially it was to preserve the remnants of old growth redwoods that were left after or during, actually, at the time in 1968, during the industrial timber logging era that was removing and converting a lot of the old growth redwood into products to be used in our society. And Congress identified a portion of Redwood Creek and other areas as needing protection. And so they established the national park to protect these last remnant stands of old growth.
Well, I remember it was a big deal when Mrs. Johnson went out there and yeah, for the park designation.
That's right. The ceremony designating the park in 1968 occurred in what we now call the Lady Bird Johnson's Grove, and Lady Bird was gave a speech there during the dedication, and it was attended by, of course, the president and his cabinet secretaries, as well as Governor Ronald Reagan at the time. It was a big deal. The podium was set up in the old growth forest, and lots of folks were invited, and it was a long struggle to create this park. The first legislation introduced into Congress actually occurred in 1911.
Oh, wow.
So it was a long time coming, and sadly, it's unfortunate that we did not, you know, Congress did not act early enough to provide for a national park earlier, but we got the park in 1960. Mm-hmm. And again, it ended in 1978.
And it's been designated as a World Heritage Site by the United Nations. What does that mean?
Yeah, so UNESCO identifies sites of global importance and that have either some natural or cultural resource that is so significant that they identify it and provide nomination for it to be identified and listed under their UNESCO World Heritage Program.
And we how? Were, mm-hmm. Go ahead now.
Okay, we were inscribed in 1980, and uh-huh. It was the identification of the values of the old growth as a unique global resource. I don't know if your listeners know this or not, but essentially, redwoods only occupy a strip of land from southwest corner of Oregon down to a little bit south of Central Coast California, just uh-huh. south of San.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And along the coastline, basically a little bit inland, maybe a few tens of miles inland, you'll find redwoods, but not very far inland. Mm-hmm. And originally, 2 million acres of old growth, you know, mm-hmm. occurred. Now there's only 90,000 acres of old growth mm-hmm. left. And that 2 million acres of redwood, the rest has been cut over. Mm-hmm. So the uniqueness of old growth redwoods is pretty high in the world, and UNESCO. The UN program identified RNSP as part of the part of its program in order to preserve and inscribe it into the system as preserving old growth redwood forests.
Well, have redwoods been cut back from what they originally where they originally extended?
Yeah, they haven't. We haven't lost any ground. In its original. Well, okay. The original footprint, as we know it, is about 2 million acres.
Uh-huh.
And there's still redwoods growing in there. I don't want to suggest that the range is shrinking because of logging. That's not the case
uh-huh.
at all.
Uh-huh.
Logging is simply providing a resource for people to use redwood material. And what's been lost, though, is the old growth. You uh-huh. cannot recover old growth because it takes hundreds of years
right.
to recover.
Right.
And so once you cut it, you no longer have it, and you can't grow it back in 30, 40, 50 years. So it takes time to recover that. So protecting the last stands of old-growth redwood was identified pretty early on. In California, three state parks, more than three, but three up here in northern northwest corner of California were created by the California State Park System in the 1920s. And they protected about 20,000 acres of old growth in three state parks. And so the national park came along in the 1960s and expanded in the 1970s to double that and create this this area of national and state parks that preserve about 40,000 acres of coastal old growth redwood forest.
So what is that? Go ahead.
Okay, I was just going to say, to our south, there are other smaller stands of old-growth redwoods that are protected by the Bureau of Land Management. Mm-hmm. California State Parks has additional old-growth redwood parks, basically from going south from Redwood National Park southward all the way down to Big Basin. So there's mm-hmm. about, in total, 90,000 acres of old-growth redwood in the range of the redwood, in the mm-hmm. redwood range.
So what does it mean that that you're now enjoined in some way with three other California state parks, Jedediah Smith, Del Norte, and Prairie yes. Creek Redwoods?
Yeah, so those three state parks, as I mentioned, were established in the 1920s and the national park in the 1960s. The original intent was for those three parks to be converted and over to the national park, creating one single national park. That did not happen, in the 1990s, the national parks and the California state parks got together recognizing that we share in common resources, both natural and cultural resources, in this area of three state parks and one national park. And it would be best for us to join forces and co-manage in a very unified way to provide for a seamless presentation to visitors and to provide efficiency in operations, in park operations. And so we started, we created a cooperative management agreement, and where we can share in staffing and other resources to protect this amalgam of four parks, one national park and three state parks, that we now call Redwood National and State Parks. That's the that's the name given to this this unit. That doesn't mean that the national park and the state parks give up jurisdiction and we don't follow policies of the federal government or the state government, depending on where actions are being taken. We do, but we try to manage in a seamless, integrated way for high efficiency.
So the superintendent of Redwoods National Park does not have administrative responsibilities across the border into the state parks.
Yeah, we have a California State Parks a district superintendent and a deputy district superintendent assigned to Redwood National State Parks, along with the National Park superintendent, and I am the deputy superintendent for the National Parks. And so those four positions work together to manage the Redwood National Parks complex of parks.
There are two Indian reservations that are in the vicinity, the Yurok and the Hoopa Indian reservations. Is there any interrelationship between those reservations and their people, and are those people involved with the parks?
So let me back up a bit. There are Redwood National Park lays on the ancestral territories of three tribal groups: the Tolowa peoples in the north, the Yurok peoples in the kind of in the middle to the south, and the Cholula people that were in Redwood Creek. Now those, not the Hoopa. The Hoopa is outside of the actual land boundary of the Redwood National State Parks. And we do, these people, with the exception of the Cholula tribe, which were merged into the Hoopa reservation back in the 1800s, we do collaborate and we consult with the Tolowa tribal groups. There are three entities within the Tolowa peoples: the Smith River Rancheria, the Elk Valley Rancheria, and the Tolowa Dene, and then and four entities within the Yurok tribe: the Yurok tribe itself, and three rancherias: Rezegini, Big Lagoon, and Trinidad. And we consult with all seven of those for any of the federal actions we undertake within this park, and that includes state park lands if there is a federal nexus involved. For example, if there's federal dollars to on a project on state land, we consult with these tribes for everything we do. And that's just part of, you know, the tribal people are still here. They're still vibrant societies. The Yurok tribe has the largest enrollment of members in California. We work with them because they care about their ancestral home, and they want the parks to work with them to maximize protection and restoration and access for them for their ceremonial needs.
So you've been on the staff at Redwoods for a long, long time. What's your primary area of interest? You have a master's in botany. Do you consider yourself a botanist or general biologist or what?
Well, I've been at the park since 1988, so I've made my career here, 5 years counting. Yes, I did get my degree in botany, my master's, and I focused originally the first 12, 13 years of my career here at this park in vegetation management and in botany. But since then, I've moved up into more supervision and management, and now as a deputy superintendent, my interest really lies in the effective management of this park. Mm-hmm. And bringing my long history of working here at Great National State Parks to the management team that has, you know, responsibility and obligation to manage our parks, cultural and natural resources, and to provide for visitor enjoyment in a way that is most efficient and effective. And so we have a great management team of folks that are new, bringing new ideas and new thought, and old dogs like me who've been around here for a long time, and together we work well to try and effectively run this park. And that's where my interests lie, is in the effective management and restoration. We do a lot of restoration in this park. And I know we're going to talk about that here soon, but the restoration of our 132,000 acre park, approximately 120,000 of that is coniferous forest. 40,000 is old growth redwood, as I mentioned already.
Uh-huh.
80,000 cutover lands that were logged prior to the parks acquiring uh-huh. the land. And it's in these areas that we're doing restoration.
So the parks are a real attraction. I gather you're quite crowded in the summertime. Is that right?
Yeah, we are. We're pretty much stuffed with visitors. You know, we have visitors coming from all over the world to come see the old growth redwoods, to capture that perfect photo of, you know, rhododendrons blooming and old growth trees behind it with fog and sunbeams. You know, that's just the classic photo that is everyone tries to get, and you can find that here in our park.
Uh-huh.
We have, you know, estimated 1.2 to 1.3 million visitors per year. And, mm-hmm. and again, we're only 132,000 acre park. And so it's a lot. And we have about 200 miles of trails that people can walk on.
Uh-huh.
We have five developed campsites that offer about 332 campsites. And we also offer five backcountry sites that mm-hmm. offer 32. And then we open up our Redwood Creek Gravel Bar to 50 campers per night.
Oh.
So there's plenty of opportunity for folks to come and recreate and enjoy. And the things that people can do while they're here is, you know, our park is I wouldn't say mountainous in the sense of high mountains, but we're in the coastal mountains where, you know, we have dramatic bluffs that shoot out of the Pacific Ocean for hundreds of feet upwards. And we have, that's where, you know, you'll find the coniferous forest and old growth. The coastline is dramatic. We have 35 miles of coastline. It's pretty undisturbed in terms of development. We have elevations up to 3,000 feet where you can get above the coniferous forest and into the prairies and old growth, coastal grasslands and oak woodlands, I'm sorry. And from there, you can have 360-degree views of the surrounding environment of Humboldt County and Del Norte.
So there are two major rivers in the park or adjacent to it. Talk about those. And I would assume that the tribal groups have a real interest in fishing in those rivers.
Yes. Actually, we have three. We have three major waterways flowing through the park. So from north to south is the undammed Smith River, a wild and scenic river, and really the crown jewel of that wild and scenic program because of its undammed. And it runs through a portion of the park at the north end. Beautiful. It winds through our old growth where we have our Jedediah Smith campground. Beautiful place to camp and then walk down to the Smith River. Great fishing. The steelhead fishing on the Smith River is outstanding. And so it is a draw for lots of folks during the season. Then in the middle of the park is the Klamath River. Now, we have just a very small, just basically the estuary of the Klamath River. The Klamath River flows for 257 miles, and we just got the estuary portion where it flows out into the ocean. But that is where the Yurok tribe really is involved in a harvest of salmon that come into the estuary there. And so a very important river system and really the lifeblood for the Yurok tribe, the Klamath River is. And then south, at the south end of the park, is Redwood Creek, much smaller order of a class of waterway. And that is where most of the national park land base occurs. And we own the lower third. The national park occupies the lower third of Redwood Creek, with the exception of the Oryx Valley, where the town of Oryx exists. And that's where we do most of our restoration. And that's the area of the park where a lot of lands were cut over.
Mm-hmm.
So we're doing our work to restore those landscapes.
Let's talk about the geology. I assume that there's some seismic activity up there, and tell us about tsunamis too.
Seismically, we are sitting on the edge of the Cascadia subduction zone, and that subduction zone runs from a little bit south of the park, from Cape Mendocino, which is south of Humboldt Bay, and runs for about 600 miles north up to the Vancouver Island in BC.
Mm-hmm.
And that subduction zone has generated some pretty significant earthquakes. The last one was recorded, or unrecorded, but we know that it occurred was in 1700, the year 1700,
mm-hmm.
Because of the recordings in Japan of an orphan tsunami, a 30-foot tsunami arriving, and based on sediment studies done here, that was the last known rupture of the Cascadia subduction zone.
Mm.
But we've had many smaller earthquakes in our area, and our parks is rife with fault lines. So it is a seismically active area. Of course, being a coastline, we also receive tsunamis from distant locations. The last significant one was in 2011 from Japan. That came and impacted the Crescent City Harbor in the north part of the park.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, in 1964 was the Great Alaskan Earthquake that also impacted the shoreline up in the north part of the park.
Mm-hmm.
So yes, we have a lot of earthquakes. That's part of the life of living in California. Thankfully, they're not a regular occurrence. But we are all prepared for dealing with them to the best that we can.
Uh-huh. Well, the Cascadia subduction zone is part of the Juan de Fuca plate. Is that correct?
So yeah. So there are three. That Cascadia subduction zone is the boundary between the North American plate, which is moving towards the southwest, and it's butting up against the remnants of a larger plate called the Farallon Plate.
Uh-huh.
The Farallon Plate is now mostly subducted already under North America Plate.
Right.
But what's left behind are three smaller plates, the Gorda at the south end, the Juan de Fuca in the middle, and the Explorer Plate up by Vancouver Island.
Mm.
Those three smaller plates, the remnants of the larger Farallon Plate, are what is being pushed. It's being squozed between the North American plate and the Pacific plate, and the Pacific plate is moving to the northwest. And these little three remnant plates are being shoved up against the inbounding North American plate. And as they subduct under the North American plate, they create tension along that boundary. And every now and again, the North American plate snaps and releases its tension, which creates the megathrust earthquakes, and resulting in tsunamis up to 60 feet that can run up many miles inland.
Do you have any fault lines that run through the park?
Yeah. Yeah, we have several in the south, the Grogan Fault, which defines really the two sides of Redwood Creek. Mm-hmm. Basically runs along the Redwood Creek runs along the Grogan Fault. And we had a few earthquakes just a couple years ago on mm-hmm. the Grogan Fault.
Uh-huh.
A small one in the 4-point magnitude range.
Have you had any land movement?
Well, the USGS studies land movement. We have monitoring sites established in the park that track movement of the land using satellite. There is movement. There's movement based on the fact that we are part of that whole Cascadia subduction complex. And so they're tracking it. There is movement, and we know that that is because the tensions continue to rise as those Gorda and Juan de Fuca plates offshore here subduct under the North American plate.
So since we're talking about the what's happening along the coast, I gather there are tide pools all along the shoreline?
I wouldn't say all along, but we do have about 4 to 5 tide pools. 4 to 5 tide pools that are accessible for folks. A lot of the coastline is really inaccessible, and so, but there are about 4 or 5 that we look at. We have an inventory monitoring program the Park Service does, and we work with UC Santa Cruz in providing for inventory of those tide pools.
Uh-huh. So, but there are points of access where people can go down and visit the tide pools.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
And what do they pull out of? What do they pull out of the tide pools?
What do they pull out of them?
Yeah.
Well,
starfish.
Hopefully
right.
Nobody's pulling anything out of the tide pools. but when they're, you know, in the tide pools, you're going to find, you know, giant anemones, ochre sea stars, California mussels, keyhole limpets, acorn mussels, purple shore crabs, some sculpins. You'll find some small sculpins and many other critters that occur in there.
All right. Well, Lionel, we have finished the first half of our interview, so we're going to have to close it off today because we've run out of time, but we'll do another interview for next week and talk about the wildlife and other features of the park. So thanks very much for talking with us today, and we'll be back and talk with you again. Our guest today has been Lionel Arguello, Deputy Superintendent of Redwoods National Park up in northwestern California. This has been Wilderness and Wildlife, a presentation of the Gallatin Wildlife Association in Bozeman, Montana. To hear more of these half-hour interviews, go online to js-wilderness.com and see additional features of our website. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Jay Schell.